Welcome to the Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for broken soundboards in all of my living room. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razorman Cumulus.
Happy Cranksgiving, Parker.
Hey, fuck you, Chelios, as well.
Fuck you, Chelios, everyone.
What a great time this is. The best time of the year. It's the time where we gather around and we just do tough stuff and we just be tough, you know? Like, we, you know, you serve somebody turkey and then you just, like, rip their shirt off, you know, and you call them a punk kind of stuff. Is that the kind of stuff you've been doing?
Oh, yeah. I've been real shitty to everybody. It's been great.
You've been tough to everybody. There's a difference.
That's right. Yeah, tough. I don't know why I said shitty. That's not what I meant. I was beating people up and being real in the holiday spirit about it.
That's the best way to be, I feel.
Yeah.
You're going to go to your hometown of Dayton, Ohio next week. Do you plan on ripping anybody's shirt off?
Well, for our hometown of Dayton, Ohio.
That's
true. Excuse me.
My mistake.
Yeah. Like, I plan on doing that once I land.
like at the part where, like, the captain comes out and, like, says goodbye and thank you for flying with us, like...
Yeah,
to everybody.
Wear up his uniform and push his hat off of his head and tell him, fuck you, Chelios. And then I'm going to drive straight to my family's house and do the same to everybody there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're going to get in your dad's car and, like, drive to the gym and work out for a little while.
Yeah, naturally. Everybody there has to look out, too, because I've got these huge muscles. I don't know how to use them. So everybody's going to get a piece.
That sounds perfect. Cranksgiving is truly the greatest of all holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to celebrate it in our hometown of Dayton, Ohio, who could ask for anything less than that? How could you if you did? Yeah, just a derelict Rust Belt city. I can't think of any other place to spend it, you know?
That's true. It's a real tough city, tough to look at.
Yeah, tough to endure. Tough to try to find a place to eat that's palatable.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, aside from all the chili dog places.
Natch. Yeah, there are some really great chili dog places.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to die in 5 years from, like, a heart attack, then it's a real hard place to find something to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're okay with dying. Weird.
Yeah, come on. I'm just so chill about dying this year. That's good.
Yeah. This year is probably the best year to die. I mean, time's running out, but, like, I feel like this would be a good one. You know?
Yeah. I heard Charles Manson's going to die. Or he's dying.
Yeah, he's dying. He's like, he lives around here. He lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Do you see him getting his mail?
No, I mean, like, he's in a jail, you know, so, like, I don't see him.
Right.
But he lives, like, 20 minutes away. His jail's, like, pretty close. So that's kind of cool. I guess people around here like him for that, people I've talked to.
Awesome.
I guess he's very cordial, and if you, like, go to talk to him or, like, write him a letter, he's, like, pretty cool about it, which is, like, a weird thing. Like, I've seen, like, a lot of my friends who, like, yesterday were, like, talking about how, like, we should ban all the guns because... violence is deplorable. Now talking about, oh, I'm going to miss Charles Manson. He's such a big part of my life. which is two things I don't know that you can necessarily think at the same time, but that's not stopping him.
Yeah, we've talked at pretty great length about this weird contradiction before, or at least with, like, friends who seem reasonable in a lot of ways, but still have, like, this love of Charles Manson that we just can't wrap our heads around. And in this exact scenario that you're talking about, yeah, like, you're anti-violence, but it's totally cool if somebody talks other people into committing horrendous acts of violence. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That's super cool. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't understand this Charles Manson thing. Like, both in the sense that you're supposed to be a good person who thinks violence is bad and then still liking him. And then, although, you know. Although I like my serial killers sometimes, but, like, And then also just in the way they're like, I don't think he's a very interesting serial killer. Like, I mean, so what? He hung out with the Beach Boys. Oh, fucking cool. Who cares? Ed Gein was wearing people's skin as clothes. Like, that's cool. Hanging out with the Beach Boys ain't cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really isn't. Like, there are some memorable songs, but I remember when I was in high school and I was one of those kids who had just listened to like Pet Sounds and was like, wow, that's really neat. And I told a friend of mine about it. He's like, oh yeah, I guess if you're into that stuff, then that's pretty cool. And I'm like, God damn, I just got roasted about male falsetto voices.
Yeah.
Not falsetto, but like high pitch, whatever.
It is
anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that. I don't know. Like, the Beach Boys are like a band, one of those bands like I feel like I should like, because like all of my favorite bands like them, like the Ramones, the Queers, mm-hmm. and those guys. But it's like, I don't know, anytime I've like tried to put them on, like in a situation where it's like not them being the soundtrack to a movie I enjoy, like Boogie Nights or something, like, or Vanilla Sky. Like, yeah, I don't know. It just sounds like music that belongs in like a Jeep commercial. Like, I don't know.
Are those both Cameron Crowe films?
Not Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights. Who did that one? Anderson?
Yeah, Anderson.
Okay.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, weird turn for that guy. It was like right at the time when he was on Channel 101. He's like, I love news, but let me make this porn thing. Yeah, that's somebody who's probably going to die soon, though. Not Anderson Cooper.
No.
Charles Manson.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't know. He's outlived his usefulness.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think
so. Well, is that what you're going to do this week, then? Is that how you're spending Cranksgiving? Is just waiting for Charles Manson to die?
Yeah, they want me to go and put the pillow over his face. You know, like it's like jury duty here, like in California. Like, we have jury duty, but we also have like kill a guy duty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the untold civic duty of California. We don't really hear about this, so I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Yeah, it's it doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while they invite you in. You gotta kill a guy. The wife just got news that she's gonna have to kill Bill Cosby. They're gonna put him down as well.
Wow.
They're getting real proactive with it, you know? Louis C.K.
Sounds like.
They're going to kill Louis C.K. at some point. I don't even think he lives in California. I don't know how that's legal. It's probably going to have to go to the courts, but they're going to kill him as well.
Strange.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very weird time.
But a tough time, no less.
Very tough.
Yeah, dying is pretty tough.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff that's tough.
Yeah.
Let's get to this email. We got an email.
That's true.
We had it last time, but we didn't read it because I forgot all about it. I'm a butthole.
No, you're not. We had a wonderful guest on, and we went way over time.
That's true. Last week
was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a long episode.
That was beefy. It was real beefy.
It was muscly.
Yeah. Real tough. Anyway, we do have an email from... the sweetest man, Matthew, frequent call-in and even a guest at one point on Junk Food Dinner, right?
That's true. Is this from Matthew Sweetman, though, or is this from, like, I think this might be from a different Matthew. Although we can pretend, like, we can read it in Sweetman's voice, though, nonetheless.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I only looked at the front of the name. This is a different Matthew. Sorry, different Matthew. We love you and appreciate you for writing in. So pardon my stepping on some toes there. So he says, PPR shall not pass, and then parentheses, away, and exclamation points follow all that. And he starts, boys, with a Z. Why don't you set down a spell? I need to have a heart-to-heart with y'all. Now, you know you can't just let PPR pass silently into the night. Like all these rumors I have been hearing. Also, here's my resume for Wayne's job. And he proceeds to list off a few things with like check marks by him. Muscles, check. Loved at PPR, check. Masters those podcast town numbers. And he has an X next to that. So I guess he doesn't have that. And he explains, gotta be honest, I don't know if I can do those like Wayne. don't know if anybody can, to be out, you know. When Wayne reads those numbers, that's a thrill and a half. I don't know how we can compete with that. But he adds, will not blow PPR deadlines like some amateur. And he puts a check mark next to that one, too. So that's, you know, it'd be nice to have a steady run of Podcast Town news.
That's true. Wayne is so bad at his job that I didn't even ask him for one this week.
Yeah.
And maybe since next week is the – or next time is – the last episode, maybe I'll ask him for one. But if not, Matt, send one in. You've got until 2 weeks from today, whatever today is, the 19th. Two Sundays from now, from the 19th, send us something in. Send us in a news.
Yeah. You can. And he also, you can, he wraps it up, but sorry.
Oh, sorry. You can have the job for one full week.
Yeah. Sounds good. He also adds, also pick attached at what I'm going to do to Wayne. Peace and love, brothers. Namaste. And the pick is hilarious. It's a fighting guide of two kind of schlubby dudes. And it's a tips and tricks. It says, when they aren't looking, punch them in the neck. And it's just one guy pointing in a different direction, and the other guy gets distracted. And then the next panel is showing how he punches that guy in the neck. You know, it's good. I imagine that Matt could be like, hey, Wayne, look, there's somebody over there not killing themselves. And Wayne would probably look over. So watch out for that, Wayne. This dude's got your number.
Yeah, be careful, Wayne. That is also a contest we're still having where if you find Wayne, we will give you a prize if you shove Wayne.
Shove Wayne. Just imagine. Yeah, so can't wait to hear his test reel. See what he's like. See what this Matt guy's like.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Thanks right in, Matthew. Sorry I got you confused with other Matthew.
That's probably like a good compliment, though. I bet like a lot of people out there would be very happy to be confused with Matthew Sweetman.
I know I would.
You got that right. So I thought of something 2 seconds ago to say, but then I forgot because I got a notification on my phone that that I should continue playing South Park Phone Destroyer.
Okay.
And I'm pretty obsessed, Mr. Frisbee, I'm going to be honest with you, but the game is hard as fuck, and it's not just like a clever title. Like, I have almost broken my phone like 4 times playing this fucking game, so I feel like I should probably uninstall it before I do permanent damage, but Butters makes some cute jokes from time to time, so I feel like I can't. I don't know. You ever get unreasonably upset in a tough way at a video game before?
Yeah. Yeah. Not for a long time. I haven't done that with my phone yet. But trying to think of what it was. It wasn't Bloodborne. Although I was like laughing at myself at how exhausting that game gets. You know, probably. I think it was probably Earthbound? I want to say Earthbound. Because you get to a point in that, and it feels like there's going to be some impossible parts to get past. But that was it was one of those video game role-playing games, those RPGs, right?
As the kids
say. Where it's a lot of math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as the kids say. As the kids are always talking about RPGs and how they all slap, right?
Yeah,
isn't that something else kids say? I saw Corey mention that somewhere, and I think that's right.
I think kids say that.
It is. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to walk that one back, say it doesn't exist. Anyway, I haven't nearly broke a system from playing a video game, although I had seen friends do it, usually like during wrestling or something, like some wrestling video game. I know I've probably talked about this before, but the only time I've nearly broken a video game or video game system was when I was playing Silent Hill, like the original one. Mm-hmm. And this was a game that was very scary at the time because it just looked weird. Like the game looked like a nightmare. It is partially just due to like graphics capabilities and how it didn't look right. The other part was like you couldn't quite see everything that was going to be on there because there's usually some kind of fog and stuff would come out of it. Kind of like The Fog or The Mist from Stephen King. But yeah, there was that coupled with the vibration control and the PlayStation 2 controller caused this one sequence of like I was walking through a sewer or something and this monster came out from out of nowhere and I threw my controller because it started vibrating, so I threw it across the room and nearly hit the system. And I was a teenager at that point, so I have really no excuse for myself. It was a fucking video game, but it was effective and I nearly broke a controller because of it. What about you? You're almost breaking this game, but what was the most recent one up before this?
Not too long ago, like 2 years ago or something, I found my old PlayStation, and I started playing Def Jam Vendetta. And even though I used to be like really good at that game and like have a lot of fun playing it, like the controls are like so weird that I was just like not getting it now, 10 years later, and I got very upset. And I threw my controller across the room, and it scared little Kepi.
Damn.
But I'm not like you. That's not usually like I don't know. Like it's weird. Like sometimes I'll get super upset about video games like that, but not usually. Like, and certainly not in like I will like sit and play like wrestling with my friends, and like I'll lose 100 matches in a row, and just be playing with a smile on my face, having fun. But I don't know, something about those late night 4 a.m. video game marathons that just make you upset and insane with anger.
I just want to break shit.
Yeah. If I picked Method Man and I'm over here getting beat up by Danny Trejo, I'm just going to get real upset.
Weird. This game sounds real out there.
It's a great game. You get to play as Henry Rollins is in the game. Like you get to play as all these weirdo like rappers and pop culture people.
And this was published. This is so strange because there's like this online fighting game. What's it called? It's like MUGU or something like that, where people just keep adding characters to it. And it's totally unreasonable. Like you'll have real life people, but a lot of like animated characters. So you can have like Popeye fight Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Mm-hmm. There's really no instance where this should happen, but they do it anyway. People make all the animations themselves and post into this game. It's real strange. And this sounds like that. Like Henry Rollins fighting Danny Trejo. Why? When have they even met each other?
Probably not. But if they did, and if they were both part of like weird gangs run by Snoop Dogg and Method Man, then they would have to fight.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's reasonable.
Yeah.
These massive fighting gangs.
There's some other people. There's like a lot of rappers and stuff in the game, too. Ice-T is in there.
Sure.
I forget if there's any like weird other people. Like, I think maybe Danny Trejo and Henry Rollins were the weirdest people in there, but like maybe Salma Hayek is in it. I don't know. I'll have to look at the roster. I forget.
Really?
Yeah.
Salma Hayek.
It's a weird game. Somebody like that is in there. Like Carmen Electra. Yeah. It might be Carmen Electra.
I'm looking at a list of them now, and yeah, some of these people I have no idea who they are. I recognize Meth Man and Red Man, Ghostface Killah and Ludacris, but then there's Joe Budden, who I almost misread as Joe Biden.
Man, that would be the best. That's the fighting game we need.
Yeah, Uncle Joe, just mixing it up. And there's somebody named Angel, somebody named Deja. I don't know who those are. They're actual people. They look like computer-generated folks. And D-Mob. I don't know who D-Mob is.
Me neither. There's a lot of people in there. I don't know. Some of them are fake, too, so it's like, who even knows? But speaking of being a part of fighting games,
Yeah.
We were talking, we were trying to rack our brains with something to come up with for Cranksgiving, other than just the general celebration of the toughest month of the year, the toughest holiday of the year. But we were thinking we would discuss, like, who would win, like, if it was, like, if an all-out brawl happened in Podcast Town where, like, all the podcatters, like, got into fights based on, and, like, the lines of loyalty were drawn within the podcast themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't necessarily think would happen. Like, if an all-out, like, fight in Podcast Town happens, like, I'm definitely going to remember that time that Sean Byron made me watch the Workmeister Harmonies. And I would not want to be on I would not want to be on his team in a fight because of it. I take that as a personal insult. and then also, like, I definitely got to be on Shelby's team because he's got the he always sends me pictures of cute dogs. You know, what am I gonna do? Turn on him? Never.
No.
So, but anyway, so supposing that they were based that the lines of loyalty were drawn in terms of whose podcast you were on, like who the toughest crew would be, who's the toughest podcasting crew out there. So I don't know. How do you want? Like, should we just like pick random dudes and see who's tougher? Because I feel like, based on sheer numbers, the two toughest crews, like they're basically like NWO and NWO Wolfpack, where each crew has like 30 people. This probably comes to kissing contest and a logical contraption. Like, there's a lot of people in those crews.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't think the two of us could take on those, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many numbers in there. Like, the two of us, like, we would get we would get swarmed immediately.
Yeah, even if there was, like, a tag team match, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, it's just going to be, you know, these two versus two of the people from this group, those other folks would come running down the ramp
mm-hmm.
and just disrupt the match. So it'd be a disqualification anyway.
That's true. It would be like a TNA match. It would just evolve into chaos as hundreds of people run from the audience and the backstage area to the ring.
Right. Right. So yeah, I feel like that would it would fall apart pretty quick.
That's true. Although I do think that as far as podcasts go with very few people, it's possible that the All Kill Cast is the toughest because they're dedicated to South Korean things. And every South Korean movie I've ever watched is about like motherfuckers torturing other motherfuckers. And that's pretty tough. So maybe that's rubbed off on them, even though they're clearly just watching people dance and not torture on their podcast a lot of time.
Mm.
But still, I find them tough. You think those guys are tough, Frisbee? I know you've met them before in your life. Yeah, like, what do you think about their muscles? The All Kill Cast.
I've only met the All Kill Cast. I think they have a very strong knowledge of South Korean pop music, but I don't know if that equates to like a general toughness. Now, if we're talking Banshee Jams, that's an entirely different feeling, right?
Like, who do you think would win in a fight? Sorry to cut you off, but who do you think would win in a fight, the All Kill Cast or the Banshee Jam?
Banshee Jam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Because they devoted their time to grittier, tougher stuff, mm-hmm. you know? And I think they would be able to play mind games with All Kill Cast in this weird scenario that we're talking about. All Kill Cast is very honest and upfront about his love of K-pop, so I don't know if they would how they would react to the Banshee Jams crew.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and also Banshee Jams has played, I think, almost all of the Persona games. And you have to be really tough to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, what do you think? Like, who would win in a fight between, like, the Banshee Jam crew and the Blind Podsman crew, though? Like, who do you think would win there?
Blind Podsman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we've been able to study how a blind swordsman works. And, I mean, my fighting style has been influenced by it. Because, like Shitaro Katsu, when he's doing these stunts, the swordsmanship style that beat Takeshi, who plays Zatoichi in a later reboot, or at least like a later revisiting of the franchise, he once described Shintaro Katsu's swordsmanship in these films as, quote, laughable and ridiculous. So I feel like my fighting style has also become laughable and ridiculous, because there's a lot of just like rolling into other people and pretending that you've like hit them with a sword, even if it doesn't look like it's connecting. So, but people play along with it. So I think that's how we would work together against Banshee Jams.
Mm-hmm. I like your reasoning. I agree.
Yeah. So your original question was like virtual pros, right? How they would fare against other two people teams.
Well, the original question is who would fare better, the illogical contraptions or the kissing contest, since both crews are made up of upwards to 20 or 30 people.
Did you want to go on this one, or do you want to hear what I have to say?
I need to know what you have to say on this.
A kissing contest. California makes everyone soft.
That's 100% true.
So I don't know if it's the avocados, the weather that's too good for this planet, or just being insulated by like tech bro culture. Or what, bad traffic. It's maybe just a combination of all those things. But life is totally different. And, you know, when you go to a kissing contest, like, my understanding is that it's basically a couple of guys who are just trying to sit around an apartment that contains only a couch and a TV.
And a dog, a weird dog.
And a dog. And then some podcasting equipment. And I don't want to fuck around with that, you know? Mm-hmm. Who would?
Yeah. Those guys also have a haunted doll. And like
that's... See, that's a wild card in this, because that haunted doll might just come up and fuck up the rest of the crew. Like, they're fighting. They're like, hey, what happened to Al? And then like the doll's just sitting there in the corner. And Al is nowhere to be seen. So...
Yeah.
Sorry, Al.
You've been taken out by the creepy, weird doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just, you know, by the fact, you know, like they're from the East Coast and that makes you tougher as a rule. And then also the fact that like there's like 45 dudes who've been on that show. I mean, you got Mike, you got Sawyer, you got New Sawyer, Doan. He's very tough. Producer Frank, like Zachariah, like that whole, like too many numbers. They would just be exactly like the NWO. They would come in, they would spray paint Corey's shirt. You know, it would just be pandemonium.
And then all the, just the entire roots of the Albany crew that would come up like out of nowhere. They'd be like, oh, more members. Like Tony Schiavone would just be freaking out. Cause like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's Wealth. It's Scott. It's every Scott from New York. They're all here. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's
it's a
true.
Massacre. Yeah, they would just take over the ring. And then that would be like every 15-minute block for weeks and weeks is just like 40 people staying in the ring high-fiving each other.
Yeah, it would be like that thing that happened. It would be like that time in ECW where there were so many people in the ring that it collapsed.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing. It's like ECW, that only made it as far west as, I think, Dayton. Like, that's where that summer pay-per-view was, where Bubba Ray Dudley called some people in the audience the F word. Mm-hmm. and that's still online. So you can look at that and feel real upset for how much you like ECW these days.
Hey, it was a different time, Frisbee.
Hey, yeah, I hear you. That was at Hair Arena, by the way.
Yeah, my brother was there.
No shit, really?
It's true.
My man, eh?
Funny. Yeah, I do feel, however, if this wrestling match between these two podcast crews happened inside of a movie theater where you're not allowed to talk, then Ilkhan would definitely win, because that would unlock Sarah Murphy's secret rage.
Yeah, she would basically achieve her final form, whatever that would be. just eyes glowing, hair sting on end.
Yeah.
People just evaporate into molecules.
Yeah.
It'd be like Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen.
That's true. So I mean, you know, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to, it's a lot to fantasy book. which maybe I will. I've got this this video game. I forget the name of it. I haven't played it in a long time. But it's like basically like math based, and you get to like run your own wrestling federation. It's like all math and like text based. Maybe mm-hmm. You can like insert your own wrestlers, like create your own people and like insert them into like the Attitude Era. Maybe I'll do that with everybody just to see.
And insult them too.
And insult them.
Like, which insult do you want to use? I'm going to call this guy a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Success.
Insult them by giving them bad stats. So maybe I'll make a podcast town federation if I can even remember what the name of that game is, so I can find it on my computer.
It's a shame that those games have changed so much, because I know we talked about this before. Like, I think shortly after I met you, you were creating like everybody in one of those early WWE games. Like, you do yourself, Jono, your roommates, all that stuff.
Yep.
And at one point you kind of want to do the same thing with one of those games where it was more realistic looking. Like, you could have a scrawny frame. You could look like whoever the scrawniest Dudley Boys member was. What's the name? Like, Zeke?
Spike.
Ralph?
Spike.
Yeah. Like, that dude is probably skinnier than me. And you get tossed around and all that good stuff. So you can make somebody who look like that, who look like average folks like us. But now you can't. Like, they have to have a minimum kind of musculature body. So we got muscles for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For days and days. But like, if we want to create everybody we know, then we have some troubles.
That's true. Yeah, I had big plans of making like everybody from... I don't know if Podcast Town was a thing at the time, but you know, I had like all our podcast bros like in one of the wrestling games.
Yeah.
And then like I got, like, it was when I still had Xbox 360, and then I got an Xbox One, and I was like, well, I'll just like get the new game and do it there. And yeah, it's like way less easy to make characters on the newer wrestling games some fucking how. And in the old games, you could like import your own music so that, you know, like, Kevin and Sean could come down to the ring using the junk food dinner theme and stuff like that. Like, Patrick could come down listening to Crayon Pop, you know, but now you can't import your own music. So that's like half the fun. It's like, how are you going to guess that these are the Illogical Contraption guys if they're not coming down to the Illogical Contraption theme? They're just coming down to like Randy Orton's theme song. Like, that takes away half the fucking fun of it. So I haven't gotten around to doing it.
That makes me real upset.
I mean, I guess I could just hook up my old Xbox 360, just play that game.
I mean, if it still works and all that, that sounds like a real fun thing.
Yeah. I just might. I got a lot of time on my hands.
I mean, just not during this week, because you're doing all the tough shit. Well, that would be tough. You're seeing, like, who's the toughest in a simulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Wayne? Like, Wayne as Podcast Town News is like, it's contracted out, so it's technically its own podcast. Like, who would you like to see Wayne fight and get shoved by?
I feel like it could be a lot of the callers on the Junk Food Dinner Hotline.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be interested to see like him and Kyle from Kentucky go at it.
That would be good. A lot of the callers don't like Wayne. A lot of them end their voicemails with the phrase "I hate you, Wayne," and please,
Jesus.
Stuff like this. I feel like that's a good call. I love Wayne. I don't want to see anybody shove him.
I like Wayne.
I don't want any harm to come to Wayne,
except for the shove. But I don't think that's harmful.
No, that's just for fun.
That's just for fun.
It's just to remind him that he's got a job to do. That he should send his news.
Oh, yeah. If you do see Wayne and shove him, as you shove him, say, "Hey, do your job, Wayne."
Mm-hmm.
Just to drive that point home, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like he could make his way through a round robin of junk food dinner callers.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. So those are the matchups for Cranksgiving. But what kind of matchups would you like to see for Cucksgiving, Frisbee?
Okay, now you're talking our language.
Who in Podcast Town would you like to see have sex with another person from Podcast Town's spouse?
I was actually going to bring Gary into this from Are You Afraid of the Dark? Partially because, and not to get us too far off topic, so bear with me here. We finished our goal for this show. Nary a moment too soon, because we're calling it quits here soon. Part of the goal of this show, aside from being the only podcast and being the only podcast hosted by two American men, mm-hmm. Being just so many things, the awfulness of being alive and all that, we had this agenda to at least get some film produced for theatrical release for Are You Afraid of the Dark or Saved by the Bell, because neither of them had that. Goosebumps had it for some reason, right?
Yep.
Why should it? Are You Afraid of the Dark is obviously superior. Didn't need to have like a book series beforehand to show people like, hey, we can do this and launch the careers of many a Canadian actor and actress. So yeah, why wouldn't it get some movie? And now it is. Now it is. Mm-hmm. Just announced like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We talked about it on Junk Food Dinner a little bit. And I was like, one of the main things we talked about is like what the hell the tone is going to be, since it's like kind of a goofy show. But I think new news has come out saying that it's going to be very dark and very scary. So
there you go.
I'm so excited. This is all I've ever wanted. I hope that Gary's in it.
Yeah. And speaking of which, let's get back to these cucks. what do you – I don't think – anybody in Podcast Town is married aside from you, dude. So how do you want to do this?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's – well, then I guess just – that yeah, that's weird. That might be true. Oh, Sean Byron's married too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot.
Also, Patrick and Ariana are both married, I've heard.
Shit, you're right. Okay.
So
– I was really thrilled at the idea that you're just like painting yourself into a corner. But now – Now, yeah. Ooh, you know what? I don't want to think about this. Okay. It got too real with my friends. So if you have something to add to that, that's cool. But I don't know if any of those folks you mentioned want to be cuckolded, yourself included.
It's a little late for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to keep my cuckold, my podcast.
I was going to say your friends close and your enemies in your bedroom.
Yeah, I like to keep my friends close and my cuckolds closer. I like my Podcast Town cuckoldry/fiction to like be kind of private and personal. So I don't want to divulge any of that. Also, I'm like working on a book that's going to be available on Amazon soon, so I kind of don't want to give any of these secrets away. You gotta pay the $7.95 for it, just like everybody else. So
sure.
Yeah, I don't think that we should continue this conversation, Frisbee.
Okay, but I guess whenever the book's released, look forward to an alternate holiday celebration of Cucksgiving.
Yeah, it's called Podcuckstown: A Cucksgiving Celebration.
And I guess that, I mean, part of Cucksgiving is inviting people over to your house to eat your meal in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only watch them eat it.
That's part of it. Yeah. Also, I forgot another subtitle for it. It's called
sure.
Podcuckstown: A Cucksgiving Celebration, Everything Cuckold is New Again.
Yeah, Yeah. You need all of those in there. That's it really drives the point home.
Yeah. So watch out for that.
I will.
It's going to be good. Did you see the Justice League movie?
No. But nice segue. Thank you. I did not see Justice League. I had only seen, like, at best mediocre things about it. I know you saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. How was it?
Pretty silly. Pretty silly. The main takeaway I had from it is that it's really weird that the bad guys set up their base at Chernobyl, like, just to make sure that there's no, like, collateral damage, because that's what everybody makes fun of DC for. It's like how bad, like, Superman will just blow up all of Metropolis, like, while trying to attempt to beat up a bad guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So this time they were like super serious. Like, the studio was like super serious. Like, we have to set this movie in a place where there will be no collateral damage at all. So half the movie takes place at Chernobyl. It's really weird.
Wait, wasn't the Legion of Doom? They were just in a swamp, right?
They lived in a swamp, yeah.
So fucking why Chernobyl? Like, there's radiation still there. It's still a problem.
Yeah, well, they're fighting, like, weird aliens and stuff, and I guess the aliens don't care about the radiation. The Legion of Doom, spoiler alert, is only in it for, like, one 10-second scene.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. This movie sounds rad.
It's pretty dopey.
Are you going to go see the next one, whenever that comes out, or whatever DC film comes out?
This one bombed pretty hard, so I don't think there's going to be a next one.
Okay.
But I'll see it. Of course I'll see it. I would love to. I saw it in a theater where, like, I saw it, like, at a press screening slash, like, advanced screening for, like, I don't know, like, who these people were, like, how they were found or whatever, but they were, like, super diehard DC fans. Like, I don't know if they won a contest, like, a radio contest, like, where you had to prove you were a fan or whatever to, like, get into the screening.
Sure.
But, because that's, like, something that, you know, they'll do. Like, they'll summon people who they know are going to like the movie to watch it beforehand so that they take to Twitter and tell everybody it's great. So, you know, so it's like kind of a marketing thing. But these people were super DC fans. So, like, they were, like, clapping at all this, like, dumb shit that, like, no reasonable human would ever clap about. Like, I don't know who Cyborg is necessarily, but, like, at one point he says booyah, and, like, the place went fucking nuts. So I can only assume that either A, they were so starved for a character to, like, say something halfway, like, not depressing that they just thought that was so great. Or B, this is something he says in the comic. But it was really weird because no one has, like, said booyah in, like, a cool way, like, since NBA Jam. So yeah. It was, like, really out of place. But I guess, I don't know, maybe someone listening can let me know if that's, like, a thing from the comic, but it was very dumb. It was like how the movie ends. Like, they're all like, all right, we won. And then this fucking stupid robot CGI monster says booyah. And then, like, the credits roll. It's like, it's pretty bad and stupid, Frisbee.
Yeah, that sounds like a problem. I don't know much about the show. I'm looking it up, though. And apparently, yeah, he says booyah a lot in a cartoon version of himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stuff from as far back as 2016. And there's an article specifically from just last month that says, from Screen Rant, says Cyborg finally says booyah. Cyborg finally gets to say his signature catchphrase, booyah. You're right?
Yeah. Maybe it's time to rethink that catchphrase.
I don't know, man. That's hard on print now. So that's why people applauded.
Yeah, I guess so.
That was probably that moment when they were applauding is is going to be cited as the downfall of this this comic movie franchise phase of being. Yeah. Like, when did it happen? When did people stop going to see comic movies? Oh, and when people applauded Cyborg saying booyah.
That could be. Ah, man. Do you have
just
this?
Kidding. Just kidding. It's one of the Thor movies, I'm pretty sure. Not Ragnarok, but the one that's like still like trying to be like Thor.
Yeah. An actual Thor movie, not Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, that one. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Do you have the movie pass, Mr. Frisbee?
No. When you sign up for movie pass, or if you're interested in it, you can look at what movie theaters accept it. And at the time I looked it up, the movie theater that I used the most was not part of it. This one that's pretty close by. And they usually show a lot of the hard to the stuff that just like comes in for about a week and then is gone. Like limited run stuff, they'll play it. They're not part of MoviePass. However, I might look back into it because that theater, they're not playing very good stuff anymore. Like, I think they have two screens devoted to Thor Ragnarok now. Not to say it's bad. It's just like, I'm not super interested in seeing that. I think they've got two screens for Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
The original intent was like have half the screens for major releases and then the other half for limited release. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like they're just not playing the limited release shit that I crave. So I wouldn't make much use out of it. I got to limit some of those passes and shit that I have anyway. Streaming services, things like that. I have a few of these I just haven't watched in months and or used in months. So need to cut back on a few things.
Yeah.
But you've been using it pretty well. Sounds like you've enjoyed MoviePass, right?
I have. I got to see Boo 2, a Madea Halloween with it. Mm-hmm. So it's paid for itself already.
Yeah, I heard you talking about it, I think on Junk Food Dinner, where Kevin and Sean were giving you a real hard time. But you're like, listen, I wouldn't see these movies otherwise. Like, I've got a fucking MoviePass. I'm going to see movies with it, which I feel like is a pretty valid approach. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, in my case, I don't get out to see movies that often anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly not going to use it to just sit on my hands for films that apparently aren't going to make it their way here anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck that. So, yeah. I mean, maybe if I get it, I'll see more films and do a better appreciation for what's out there.
Oh, I think you should. I think you would really appreciate Boo 2. Madea Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to use it the other day to go to Fresno to see like this indie movie, this movie Lady Bird.
Yeah.
And the fucking app wasn't working. So now I got to go some other time.
You got to go some other time?
Yeah, I got to go some other time. Like, the app, like, wouldn't let you sign in. It was, It was fucking abysmal. So now I got to go some other day. Which is upsetting, because it's like a 45-minute drive.
Wow. But okay.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Mr. Frisbee? What are you going to do?
Make that drive, I guess.
I guess I got to.
Yeah, I heard good things about that Lady Bird.
Me too.
It was real funny.
Yeah. Oh.
What?
Nothing. Nothing really. I just felt like doing that.
Okay.
well, I also want to tell you I'm going to be on Illogical Contraption later, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, cool. Are you going to ask him how soft they are?
Yeah. I'm going to be like, how soft are you guys exactly? I see you over there eating avocados because we're doing it. we're going to do the Skype call. I'm going to turn on my webcam. And I know they're all just going to be eating just whole avocados right out of their hand like they're apples.
Yeah. Putting them on turkey sandwiches putting them on chili dogs. I'm sure of that. That's got to be a thing.
Oh, man. Oh, that chili dog that Sarah Murphy posted in Podcast Town recently was just terrible.
Well, hold on a second. She's never posted a chili dog. She's posted a lot of facsimiles of things that look like chili dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But like closer inspection or even just a simple declaration like this is not a chili dog reveals that, yeah, in fact, these have not been chili dogs.
Yeah.
There's been like quinoa replacement link inside gluten-free bun with some old mess that's not chili, but hey, look, it's brown. Mm-hmm. Like all these small details where you're like, this is not a fucking chili dog.
She posted just a pile of chopped kale the other day and said, look at this chili dog. I said,
what? See, that's the fucking, yeah, that's the weird gonzo just fucking, it is illogical. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. There's no reasonable way to call that a chili dog. It's like, look at this salad in a bun. Isn't this the best chili dog you've ever seen? No, it's not. Yeah. So, a lot of imaginary food items are just things that's taken the wrong name, but yeah. Yeah.
People are just making up their own rules these days,
I guess.
On what is a chili
dog. I can't blame, because, yeah, it's a pretty weird year.
Yeah, I guess if this was the year to do it.
Mm-hmm. Or if Might as well.
Yeah, if any year was the year to do it, this one would be it. But
you're going to be on there, and I think in a week I'm going to be on there.
Oh, yeah? Which, you talking about Adam Sandler with those guys?
I am, yeah.
Which one did they sucker you into talking about?
The cobbler.
Yeah. That's going to be a very interesting one. Because, like, I bet that's not bad in, like, the normal Adam Sandler way. That's probably bad in, like, a whole new way.
Yeah, it's going to be bad in him trying to recapture Punch Drunk Love kind of way, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I saw Adam Sandler in this movie called The Meyerowitz. Something like that. The Meyerowitz.
Yeah, how was that? I heard that was pretty good.
It's fucking amazing. And Adam Sandler is, like, a really good actor. So, it's... I watched that like right after I watched That's My Boy. And like it just made me furious. I'm like, "Why? You're so good at acting, Adam Sandler. Why did you just make weird homophobic racist jokes for an hour, like for 2 hours in That's My Boy? What's going on here?"
I you know what? I was having I had a very quick conversation with Sean when I was visiting him in LA. I think it was like earlier on that Friday before we all met up at Universal. We gone out and I think got something to eat, or maybe it was after we'd eaten with the Banshee Jam kids. Yeah, because I still had my stuff with me. But we had this quick conversation about what gets films money, like how people think about making films. We'd like to think it's some ideal where it's like they're trying to make high art or trying to just advance like. Take some risks and do something interesting with the medium, because it's still film. Like, even though we're on digital and do green screen shots and all that, like it takes a lot of work, employs a lot of people. A lot of folks are involved, and in more cases than not now, like people want to see a film completed, but there's a lot of like crap films out there and people are moreover concerned with like how much money it's going to make, because it's going to be reflective of what they should do next. It's like, okay, if this made money, why did it make money? How can we get more asses and seats and whatnot? Like, and I think Adam Sandler had part of that figured out, as much as we don't want to admit it. Like, he's still finding funding for these films. They're not all great, but people are obviously watching them. Just not anybody that we know, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think he just figured that out. And, like, every... every like 200 years, you know, or it's like whenever the castle from Castlevania appears, Dracula's castle, that's when Adam Sandler makes a like stunning performance in a film.
That's true. It could be that. I'll get my man Hatless Jackson to keep me abreast on when the castle from Castlevania pops up, because I know he knows. And then I'll know when it's okay to watch an Adam Sandler movie.
Hmm. Yeah, if he knows him or something, just have him give you the heads up.
Well, Hatless Jackson plays a lot of Castlevania is the thing. He just loves it so much that...
Oh, I thought he just loved Adam Sandler films.
No, he might as well. He just posted something on Facebook about how good Justice League is, so he might like Adam Sandler films, actually. I'll have to talk to him about this.
He has like a foot in both, then.
Yeah. But I know he likes that Castlevania. That's all I know about Castlevania. I never played it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
That may have been one of the games where I almost broke in a video game system when I was a wee lad. Because those are just infuriating. really, really hard.
Yeah.
Some of them, not all, but yeah.
All those Nintendo games were the worst, man. I used to play Wizards and Warriors, get so heated.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, that game. Got a good soundtrack, though.
Yeah, excellent, excellent noise from that one. Mm-hmm. What was one that was like one hit and you would be dead?
Oh, I don't know. Ghost and Goblins was like that, where it was like, I think you got like two hits and you were dead.
Yeah, anything that was like a brief gameplay like that. You had to be tough to play those games. It was not always tough. I'll just say that.
Yeah. We played a lot of video games before we started getting muscles from this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it. That's all the stuff. I got to go and be tough out in the world and prepare. I got to do like a lot of exercises before I do this illogical contraption thing. So I got to get out of here and like do some squats and some hip shake thrusts. You know, that's the kind of exercises I'm doing now. I'm doing a lot of bicep comedos, a lot of tricep clubidoops.
Reverse rip curl.
Yeah.
Blind stand up burpees.
Mm-hmm. I also have to get my trans pins minimalized. So that's all. Send us an email. Next time is the last episode. Or at least it's number 300 if it's not. So that's like pretty cool and eventful, I feel. Send us an email, poolpartyradio@gmail.com, and let us know if you liked any of the previous 300 episodes, 299
Yeah,
episodes.
If you liked any one of them, it can be a single one. It can be like a previous, hey, wait a second. What the fuck?
What?
We're on 290, this is 298.
This is 298?
Yeah, the last one was 297.
Oh, shit. I'm one ahead.
Better. Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
My bad. I think I have, like... The junk food dinner numbers are like similar, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Yeah, we gotta wrap up this fucking Are You Afraid of the Dark, brother?
Oh shit. That's true. Gotta wrap up Saved by the Bell. We got oh my
god. What else do we have in Saved by the Bell? We did everything.
No, we've got like six more episodes in a movie.
Oh Jesus. Okay. Well,
maybe we gotta do that next week.
Yeah, we gotta just condense all of those, because that's gonna be 299 and 300. Is going to be like a retrospect on our lives, and we can't just interject with be like, all right, so here's what happened when they went to get married in Vegas. Very emotional time for all of us. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Well, shit. All right. Well, we got two more episodes left. I'm bad at math. Nonetheless, let us know if you liked any of these episodes. Also, you know how like Facebook does the thing where it's like 1 year ago today, this happened to you. Kind of stuff, you know, like the little pop-ups you get, the little tab you can on this day thing, Frisbee.
Yeah.
I got word that on this day, like, well, 2 days ago, 5 years ago was the anniversary of the greatest episode of any podcast ever, A Frisbee's Right to Choose.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, that hit me right in the center of my chest.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary. May we never come to that. Part of our society.
I feel like
never again.
I feel like it's coming close. I feel like,
isn't it? Yeah, when those women dressed up as like Handmaid's Tales characters, I think like in Texas during the reading of some legislation that was just basically right up that alley, like just stripping rights away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we seem to just have a very unhealthy focus on it. So,
well, a frisbee's
right to choose clears all of that up.
Yeah, like I don't mean to interrupt you, but a frisbee's right to choose is not about stripping away anybody's rights. It's about giving you, Jason Frisbee, more rights.
Finally, me, a white man in America,
you need more rights, mm-hmm. And this is a way to give them to you. I feel like you need more responsibility. You need more Stone Cold Creamery.
Which I have, honestly, I need to get back on that horse. I've not been to Stone Cold Creamery for a while.
Me neither. Man.
By the way, before we sign off here, I want to just alert you. I was checking to make sure that the numbers were correct. Mm-hmm. And on our poolpartyradio.com website, where you can find all of our old episodes.
Yeah.
we have a bot that's following us, and it keeps adding these unique reviews of the Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's called Essay Service Review. And because, like, nobody's going to websites to comment. We'll usually get iTunes comments or something. You can do that for us before we head out into the great blue yonder. But on the website itself, for our most recent one, it says, Are You Afraid of Poop Town? This talks about a basic fear that mostly everyone has it. The episode is wonderful. Please check it out.
That's pretty good. Yeah, the episode before that, the review is, I really love your shows. They are a best way for someone to spend their time, and I feel really lucky to have been invited to the party.
Yep, and then the one before that says, well, this is from Best Custom Essay website, so it's different, but it says, lol, no, I'm not afraid of the dark. I will say I love darkness and prefers it a lot. Plus, is share is best for the people who really are afraid of darkness, lol. So...
That's we have this one. Scary and suspense serials keeps you glued to the TV. Irrespective of age, all watch scary movies. The title itself is so provocating. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Waiting to watch the show. These are the kind of cool comments we're getting.
That's very profound. And then for Disappeared Into Dust. Jesus Christ. It says Australia essay writing again. And it says, but what exactly the logic behind this post? What will people get from this? I mean, you got labels related to a shark, but has something very different in the post. This post is when we were talking about Jimmy Buffett and... this episode. So I started the description with sharks are circling this week, parrot heads, and apparently that was whenever this I don't know if this is a bot. This might be somebody like trying to do some work on behalf of it or whatever, but weird, real weird.
Yeah. We also have the episode that you missed out on where the juice was here. We have two comments on. One says, I hope the benefits of juicing are now clear to you. Make sure you drink it fresh and raw. You can add a concoction of spices to improve the taste of vegetable juices.
Go juicer.
Yeah, and the other one says, I went through this episode that you mentioned here, and it was so fit for the occasion. It gave all the spooky vibes that the audience demands.
We did it. I'm glad that, like... Aside from getting Are You Afraid of the Dark, a theatrical film release, I wanted spooky vibes out there, too.
Yeah. Also, according to our website, the last time we did a Saved by the Bell episode was episode 187, so that's pretty fucking nuts.
That's confusing to me. I don't know if I can comprehend that.
Yeah, maybe we should do Saved by the Bell next week.
All right. Yeah, well, let's do that.
All right.
And let's call this one an episode.
Cool. Yep, that's it. Find us in Podcast Town. Email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, stuff like that. Facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Find The Blind Podsman. That's a podcast that's out there. You can listen to it. Yeah, listen to the newest episode of Illogical Contraption because I'm on there, and then listen to the one after that because Frisbee's on there. And until next time, this is Parker for Razor Man saying thanks for having fun.
Fuck you, Chelios.
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 Fucking fuck your balls, Chelios.
Chelios, fuck you.
Fuck off, Chelios.
Fuck!